This morning, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 14. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have gained all things. Amen. So are you prepared? Are you confident about your future? Americans are encouraged to prepare for retirement, to have some sources of income after they're done with their working part of their life. And for most Americans, that involves investments. There are all kinds of different investments and all kinds of different questions people have about those investments. Will this one be riskier? Will that one be more profitable? Will this one be right for me? How much will I need? Am I ahead of the game, or am I behind the game, or will I ever be able to catch up? So many people don't feel very confident about their investments or about their preparation for retirement. Today in our section of Scripture, God uses several different money terms, a lot of different money language, but he wants to talk to us about more than just money. He wants to talk to us about our future. He wants us to take stock of our relationship with him and to know who we can really count on. He wants you and me to have knowledge and security and confidence about what will happen for our eternal future, because our outlook now affects our position in the end. So today, as we take a closer look at Philippians chapter 3, we'll learn how to invest with confidence, talking about losses and gains and shares. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul was warning the Philippian Christians about the circumcision group. Those were people back then who believed that in order to be right with God, little boys and men had to still have that little operation that God had commanded back at the time of Abraham. Paul says, essentially, that's investing in the flesh. That's putting your confidence in your body, in how you follow God's laws. Paul says, if anyone wants to invest in the flesh to depend on their right relationship with God, you should listen to me, Paul says, because I've had more experience in that than anyone else, and I'm probably just about the best there ever was. Paul says that he was circumcised on the eighth day, the exact day that was commanded in the Old Testament. Paul says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two tribes of Israel that remained after the Assyrians and Babylonians came in and destroyed and deported the rest of the Israelites. Paul says that he was a Pharisee. That means not only did he hold to all the outward laws of Moses in the Old Testament, he also followed all those extra regulations that the Pharisees came up with. Paul said that he practically ate Hebrew, he lived Hebrew, he breathed Hebrew, he bled Hebrew, And if people weren't Hebrew enough, if people weren't following those laws enough, he would go from door to door and from city to city to try to take them to trial and even have them put to death, if at all possible, persecuting the church. Paul knew what it was all like to invest in the flesh, to put the confidence for his right relationship with God on himself. But he said, that was all a loss. He said, not just neutral, but a negative. Not just clutter in his life, like we might have in our garage or out in our basement, but it was putrid, stinking, rubbish to be gotten rid of, that attitude that I can invest in my flesh and say that's what's going to make me right with God. How often do you and I also do what Paul did? Invest in the flesh. Put our confidence in our relationship with God in our own bodies or what we do. I've been a member of this church, and my family has for generations. I went to Sunday school when I was a child and Christian day school. I was confirmed. I went to Lutheran High. I come to church just about every weekend, and my relatives and I have sat on church councils and committees here for decades. I'm a Lutheran of Lutherans. I even belong to the Wells, the Wisconsin Synod, a very conservative Lutheran. When we place our confidence in our relationship with God on those things, we're investing in the flesh, and it's a loss. But even if we're not as passionate about practicing our religion as Paul was, sometimes we still slip into that investing in the flesh mindset, don't we? Well, I would be right with God if I just came to church a little more often, or put a little bit more in the offering plate, or prayed a little bit more, or volunteered a little bit more. That is all investing in the flesh, and we will end up bankrupt with God when we do that, empty for all eternity. All of that is a loss. If investors could only see the future, they would have bought up all the stock they could have in companies like ExxonMobil and Apple and Microsoft. Today, in the last 100 years, those three companies have been the biggest wealth generators, bringing in gains of trillions of dollars. But Paul says that there's something even more valuable here. It's Christ. Paul talks about Christ in these words as surpassing greatness, because money comes and goes, but Christ lasts forever. Our genetics can't buy us a right relationship with God, but Christ's blood, precious blood shed on the cross, has. Our works, they're always tainted with selfishness or with indifference, but Christ's works were always pure and perfect. That surpassing greatness, nothing more valuable than Christ. Paul said, I want to gain Christ. The problem with that was Paul couldn't choose Christ, Paul couldn't earn Christ, Paul couldn't buy Christ, but Christ chose him. Christ purchased him. Christ came to Paul on the road to Damascus, and as the light flashed all around, as Christ spoke, as Christ directed him to go into Damascus, Paul came to know Christ. And there, when Christ sent Ananias to baptize Paul, Paul gained Christ. Paul gained a right relationship with God, a right relationship from God. Paul gained the Holy Spirit and faith. Now we might wonder, why is it this important to gain Christ and a right relationship with God? Well, it's because God is the maker of all things. He's the judge of all things. He's the ruler of all things. God owns all things and can dispose of all things. God brings terror and God brings tranquility. A right relationship with him is all important. When you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you brought nothing, but you gained everything. you gained Christ. This morning, as the Sunday school children learn about Christ's, the promise of Christ and the delivery of Christ, as they learn about Christ's teachings and his life, his death and resurrection in Sunday school, they gain Christ. As children learn of Christ and trust in Christ in the day school or in home devotions or at Lutheran High, they gain Christ. As Jesus' forgiveness is brought to you by your pastor or your parent or your peer, you gain Christ. As God's word dwells among you richly and you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you gain Christ. When you come up to communion later this service, you receive so much more than just bread and wine. You gain Christ. And in Christ, you gain all things. It's no risky investment whatsoever. You can be secure. You can be confident of your eternal future because in Christ, you have all gains. When people invest, they purchase what's called shares of a company, so that when a company does well, that share does well, and the investor does well. But when the company doesn't do well, the share decreases, and the investor doesn't do very well. You buy that share with the company. Well, Paul said that he wanted to share with Christ, share in Christ's sufferings and Christ's resurrection. That's very understandable. Of course, we'd want to share in Christ's resurrections, but why would we want to share in Christ's suffering? Jesus himself talked about this in the gospel for today when he said, "Anyone who wants to be my disciple must pick up his cross and carry it and be willing to give up everything." That's suffering. Now, our crosses are the same as Christ's in that they are heavy. They are painful, they bring suffering, they can be exhausting. Our crosses are different than Christ's in that only Christ's cross paid for sins, the sins of the whole world, right? But the crosses that we might carry, we might be at odds with family members who don't like what Christ says or stands for. We might suffer, have crosses in our temptations. Temptations on the inside to pride or doubt or greed or lust. Temptations on the outside to reckless or shameful sins. And those temptations can press hard like a cross, suffering. Someday, we might suffer the same kinds of crosses that Paul had, verbal abuse, physical abuse that he took. But those crosses are part of sharing in Christ, and God wants to use that for our good. As we suffer with temptations, we gain a greater appreciation for Christ, who by his suffering on the cross paid for all the times that we fell into temptation. When we suffer with hardships here, it makes us long all the more for the heaven that Christ won for us by his sufferings. When we near death here in this fallen world, it makes us look forward all the more to the heaven that Christ won for us by his sufferings. When we share in suffering hardship or rejection or loss, it can make us all the more certain that when we face those things for the sake of Christ, we also will share in the power of his resurrection. Because Christ rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. Because Christ was raised with a glorious and immortal and imperishable body, we too will be raised with a glorious and immortal and imperishable body. Now Paul says here, and somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We may not understand completely how that works. We may not now be able to comprehend just what it will be like to be raised from the dead, but there is nothing uncertain about it. In Christ and his death and resurrection, we can be completely certain that we too will rise from the dead because we share in Christ. When people invest for retirement, they will oftentimes choose many different kinds of investments so that if some of them don't do well, others do well and make up for it. That's how investments go when you're investing for retirement for 10, 20, or 30 years. But investing for eternity, God says, not a bunch of different investments, just one direction, just one way, Christ. In Him, we gain everything. We can count on Him. That's why we are willing to invest our time and our energy and our resources in ministries such as this, worship, Bible class, music, Sunday school, our day school, and Lutheran High. That's why those ministries are worth praying for and supporting and being involved in. That's why we are all in with those ministries, because they help us and others gain Christ. They help us and others be found in Him. They help us and others have faith and be strengthened in our faith. They help us and others gain a righteousness that is from God, all so that we can more and more share in Christ. Let us be willing ever to walk with Jesus, to share in Jesus, and to live with Jesus. Amen. Please stand.